money. Now, you can't live without it. But for many people, money causes a lot of problems and pain. The question is, how can we be good stewards of all that we've been given? How can we both benefit from our resources, but also make them count? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Welcome again to the program, as today we chat about stewardship of all that's been given to us with my special guest, Ross Buttonshaw. So many people get a bit twitchy when they hear some preacher talking about money. Uh-oh, here we go again. This guy wants my hard-earned cash so he can finance his lavish lifestyle. With all the Ross we've seen over the years, I guess that's kind of understandable. But that's not why we're talking about money this week on the program. I'm joined again today by Ross Buttonshaw, the Australian Director of Christians Against Poverty. And the reason I've invited Ross onto the program is that he and his organisation help countless people struggling in debt to get their lives back on an even keel. So he works at the coalface of personal financial crisis. And over the years, he's developed a real practical insight into not only the problems associated with debt, but the things that we each can do to deal with the problem, to take this voracious monster called wealth and turn it back into a faithful servant called money. Jesus spoke rather a lot about our attitudes towards money. And so today, we're going to take a look at wealth and money from a different perspective, from God's perspective. Hey, Ross, thanks for joining me again on the program today.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
Now, Ross, before we get rolling, tell me something. How is it that you became involved with Christians Against Poverty? What kind of attracted you to this organisation and role?
Well, I was attracted to it before I ever got involved. I became a financial supporter just because I thought, wow, that is great. But what really spoke to me, I heard the founder speak in our church.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's his name?
John Kirkby.
Right.
He's an Englishman.
A POM.
Yeah, POM. And he was brought out here. Someone was passionate about this and said, we need this in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard him speak. And what really grabbed me was this was a way Christians could practically help people around them, but not only just practically help with the real need, which was people in financial crisis, but was to share the gospel because mm-hmm. we're very evangelistic. And that's what grabbed me. I thought, wow, they're seeing people transformed in the problems they've got in this day and age, but also introduced to Jesus Christ. And that's what really grabbed me.
And what do you do day by day at Christians Against Poverty or CAP? What keeps you going?
What keeps us going is it's really the lives that are being changed, and currently we're in Australia and throughout the world we're helping over 5,000 families at the moment. And what keeps us going is seeing them day by day transformed and to actually give someone a practical way they can become debt-free, because it's actually not an easy thing.
Yeah.
If you've got all the worries of life and all the challenges of life, throw into that multiple debts, it's very difficult. And what really grabs my heart is when I see a single mum who's struggling with her kids mm-hmm. and all of a sudden she finds Jesus Christ, but she has a plan for now, because it's no good just saying, oh, you can find eternity if someone has to live in pain constantly in this day and age.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
What a great organisation. And only 5,000 people you're helping.
Well, we've helped over 30,000, 40,000 in the last 10 years.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. But because we help people and they work with us, they move on with us. So in 1 year, we help a lot more.
Yeah.
But currently on our books, as in families who are becoming debt-free.
I was kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah,
only,
I know.
Only
yeah.
5,000 people.
Yeah.
That is just so awesome.
Yeah.
Now, it seems to me that our attitudes towards money and wealth and all the stuff that we can buy has gone skew-if over recent years. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, the psyche, you look at the ads on television, you look at the buy interest-free for 27 years, and what's happened in our psyche? Why are we doing this?
Well, we are driven in this world. Our businesses are driven to make profits, okay? And part of that making profit is growth-related, and to do that, we need to get people to buy our products. And so one of the things that's really exploded growth in being able to purchase goods is the availability of people to get the money to purchase those goods or the finance.
Mm.
That has become freely available in the last 10 years especially. And so there has been an explosion of consumer growth in the last number of years. And this is almost like a cycle that's going on and on, is that we've become used to this and the expectations are that we can purchase and consumer goods at a certain level.
Mm.
And this becomes the norm. And so I do believe we're in a society where the norm has become that we need to have a certain standard and we need to be able to purchase these types of things. And they are probably not the necessities of life. They're the wants of life.
Mm. Interesting. I mean, a barbecue, my dad had a barbecue in the backyard, and I think he paid something like $30 or $40 way back then. In today's money, we're talking, I don't know, $150 for this four-burner barbecue. I was walking past a barbecue shop the other day. You know, there's a barbecue in there for $17,000.
Yeah.
What's the matter with us?
Well, the fact is there are some people who can afford a $17,000 barbecue.
And then there are those people who can't and go into debt to buy it.
Yeah, and I think that's the issue is that, you know, personally, I have absolutely no problem with people with money and wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I think God has blessed them. They've worked hard. And if they can afford a $17,000 barbecue, then go buy one. The problem comes when people who don't have that wealth want to live that lifestyle. And the credit they can access funds that. And it is a dangerous path we start walking then.
What does the word stewardship mean to you?
Stewardship is about what you've been given, and specifically to me, what God's given us, and how we look after that, and how we use that.
Mm.
And to me, it's a not much used word these days of how we steward our resources. And in resources, I count our personal time, mm-hmm. our money, those other aspects of our wealth. And to me, stewardship is about what you do with what you have.
What does good stewardship look like in your book?
Good stewardship is where you count the cost. Okay. It's so easy this day and age to not count the costs. So I once came across people who proclaimed to be people of faith, you know, as in we can do it. But, you know, it's one thing to count the cost and to step out in faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's a good thing. There are some of us who are maybe more gifted in just being able to not worry about what we're doing
mm-hmm.
and just to step out and not count the cost.
Mm.
To me, that's not so much faith when you don't actually count the cost of
So give me a practical
actions.
Example when it comes to how I spend my money.
Okay. A practical example could be just say you've done well and you've created some sort of budget mm-hmm. for your life, but you're out shopping and actually you see with your eyes, you see what might be a new product, might be a TV. You've already got a good TV, but all of a sudden you decide, actually, I want a TV. I want
the latest model.
Yeah, I want the new LCD. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's like if you haven't counted that cost and built it into your life and decided that actually this is what we need for our family or want for our family, it's almost like that impulse then does not look like stewardship to me, because if you've got a good budget, then your money was destined to be used for a certain purpose.
Mm.
And to me, it's counting the cost and deciding what purpose that is. But then there's things that come into us and attack us from all angles with our advertising that say, use your money here now and do this. And specifically, if we don't have the funds and put it on credit, that then becomes a situation where it's definitely not stewardship.
Because stewarding our resources is really deciding what our priorities are. And for me, as a Christian, a huge priority should be God's work, the kingdom
exactly,
of God.
Exactly, exactly. I believe what we've been given is for a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not proclaiming that everyone needs to send all their money to missions and so on. But God talks to each one of us individually about what we do with our finances, and if we hear that voice, I think sometimes we've got to open our ears to it, for one. But when we do hear it, we've got to start acting on that.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's pick this up again tomorrow, I think.
Okay.
Money has a grip on many a person's life. Instead of being a faithful servant, it becomes a brutal master. Jesus spoke more about our attitudes towards money than on any other subject because he wants to set us free from that. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called Money Matters, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you make sure that your wealth becomes the faithful servant it should be, rather than the brutal master it can be. And you know, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is christianityworks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.